Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So what happened? We have this National Park Service Board, and the story is that several members, maybe 10 now by one count, have all quit. They were Barack Obama appointees, but they no longer want to be on it, in part because they said the Interior Secretary never met with them. Gretchen Long joins us. She resigned her membership, which goes back to, I think, 2000. Well, you tell me, Gretchen. You're on WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hello, John. I'm fine. How are you?
Terrific. You started when?
Right. We started in 2010. So we've been working together as a board for the last 7 years. And we think we did some really good work and helpful work for the National Park Service, which is our only objective. We're all citizens, and we bring different backgrounds and different areas of expertise. And we've been working together to try to make recommendations and offer advice and guidance on kind of broad policy issues and how to be a 21st century National Park Service. And that's what we've been working on for 7 years.
You've had a career in conservation and the environment. You chaired the National Parks Conservation Association. You're on the National Outdoor Leadership School. You chair the Land Trust Alliance, the National Council. You serve on the board of Nature Bridge. You have a previous business career, and I'm reading from your bio, a graduate of the Harvard Business School. So it's a nice marriage of business and the environment. And I understand, though, why a new administration wants their people representing their views on various boards. You don't deny them that, do you?
Oh, I agree with you entirely, John. Every administration charts its own course, and so will this administration. But there is value to understanding and listening to what has been done before and see what parts of it you might want to sustain and what changes you might want to make. And that's what we asked the secretary, we the board, and Tony Knowles, the chairman of the board, tried to get and failed to get the secretary's attention, that we might come and talk with him about what we've done and the role of the advisory board, because quite frankly, I'm not sure that the secretary has been as clearly aware of the role of the advisory board as might be valuable. So we wanted to go over that. It's a public process. The advisory board's been in existence since 1935. Not only do we offer advice and an independent perspective, but we're also the only group prescribed by law to determine national historic landmarks.
Do you are you bipartisan? I know that Obama.
We are bipartisan, yeah. And I frankly think currently I'm an independent, but the whole effort was bipartisan. And I have found in America people love their national parks, and it's beyond partisanship. It's not a partisan issue typically.
So
our national parks.
You would advise them on things like what, for instance, on we've been hearing that either the cost to go to national parks will be increased or that there will be fewer free days to see the national parks. What advisory role would you all have to play in that?
Well, I have heard that, too, just through the news, as you. That's getting slightly down in the weeds, but not necessarily so. We probably, had we been engaged, and I take note that they asked, they'd set up a separate committee to look at that we might have had some questions about raising the fees, feeling that we've spent the last several years trying to reach out to a broader America, reach out to youth, reach out to the millennials, and get their engagement. And these are the people who would find a steep increase in price an obstacle to visiting the park. So we think it's a bad signal.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's really not the way to meet the maintenance backlog. There is a huge maintenance backlog, and it's showing. You can see the wear and tear in the parks. But I don't think selecting 17 icon parks to carry this burden is the right way to do it.
What tipped?
We were never asked.
What you all have been on this for years. The president has been in office for almost a year. And then all of a sudden we hear that everybody walks off en masse. What prompted that specifically?
I think we just felt that we were so ignored. And there was just so little interest and so little respect for the work that had been done that it was time for us to retire. And we also knew that our terms will be up this spring in May of 2018. And they will at that time, as a new administration should, put in their own new people. So we really wanted to make the statement that we're concerned that currently the ideals and measures that we had tried to help come about in the National Park Service were being ignored, and that bad things were happening. And one of the bad things that happened was that one of our efforts was to be sure that science, including climate change, was taken into consideration when the Park Service makes management decisions. And we got that enacted, or the department did. And Secretary Zinke rescinded that. And that concerned us a lot.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Let me just read to you, though, what the Associate Deputy Secretary for the Interior Department, a guy named Todd Willens, said. He said about you and your colleagues, "We welcome their resignations and would expect nothing less than quitting from members who found it convenient to turn a blind eye to women being sexually harassed at national parks." What is that all about?
Well, first of all, the advisory board never, ever heard anything about this issue. We now know through the news that there is a substantial issue of concern of women being sexually harassed. But that was never brought up in the forum, which is a public forum, by the way, and probably this issue was under private review. It just was an issue that never came up, and it really wouldn't be because it's a management issue. And we were really the group that was talking policy and ideas and not getting into management.
He also said this, I know you know it, and you knew I was going to just go over this with you, but this is their sort of counter to their rebuttal, if you will, to your departure. Mm-hmm. "It is patently false to say the department has not engaged the board when as recently as January 8th, we were working with the board to renew their charter, schedule a meeting, and fill vacancies. The board traditionally meets at the end of each year, and the secretary rarely attends. However, we were working with them to renew the charter and hold a meeting in the coming weeks." Is that true?
That is absolutely dishonest. I don't know who the "them" to which they refer means, but no member of the advisory board, including the chairman, who would have been the most likely person to be contacted, heard anything in January at all about anything. So I don't know why they would say that. It concerns me. I don't want to say it's a lie, but I will say it's a lie. None of us were contacted. So the "them" to which they refer, I don't know who they mean. It's probably internal. But they actually say we were working with the board, and they were not.
They said this, again from the Associate Deputy Secretary of the Interior, "The department is happy to report that we have a number of individuals who have expressed interest in joining the board, and we will now fast-track filling these new vacancies with people who are actually dedicated to working with the department to better our national parks."
Well, I hope they do fill the vacancies with people who are actually dedicated to working with the department, because this group of colleagues that I've worked with, scientists, educators, political folks, mayors of cities, professors, finance people, myself, I have never seen a group who learned as much and cared as much about our national parks as they. And if you want to talk about truly dedicated, this group has been. If they can find more people, as they should, who want to give their voluntary time free to work, and it's a lot of work, dedicated to our national parks, that's terrific. Bravo.
Last sentence. "Their hollow and dishonest political stunt should be a clear indicator of the intention of this group." So the fact that
I found the whole press release disgusting and concerning, because it is, first of all, it's just trying to degrade us as a group, and it's a dishonest presentation. They also mentioned that we failed to mention in the centennial celebration, for which I was chair of the centennial committee, the extensive work of private companies, which we've never not mentioned. But what they said, because we had private companies and public interest, we had over 200 public groups and organizations that participated as partners with us in the centennial celebration. And we also had private companies. We wanted them all. Partnerships was what it was all about. And the fact that they would falsely bring this up is almost ridiculous.
I'll repeat what you said. I think everybody listening to this conversation, Republican or Democrat, feels the same way. If the president wants to appoint his own people, great. Let's hope if they're conservatives or if they're, you know, polka dotted, it doesn't matter. Let's get people in there that care about the parks, care about the environment, believe in science, understand climate change and how all of these things are connected, and they do their best to preserve the parks and make them accessible to the people. I don't care what their political party is. I also don't think you deserve, if there is a political difference, the sort of butt-kicking that they wanted to give you all on the way out the door after 8 years of service. That sounds ridiculous to me.
Well, I appreciate your summarizing it that way, because that's the way we see it, too. Very much so.
Two quick texts from my listeners. John, the national parks are in the worst shape they've ever been in. That's from 815 and from 630. I'm from Chicago. I work in Florida, though, as an Everglades National Park, some sort of employee there. Entrance prices mm-hmm. have been raised while attendance is definitely declining. Well, that's too bad, too. Well, they got their work cut out for them, maybe. So what's next for you, then? I'll let you go here. But, Gretchen, what's next for Gretchen Long?
Well, I'm going to continue to support our national parks. I love them. And I will do what I can, not as a member of the advisory board, but in other ways. I work in the conservation community as a volunteer on a board level. But I'll have to say this has been a very robust experience, and it will be hard to supplant it. Except that, and I know I'm talking to those who agree, the mission of the National Park Service is so great, and the people, really most of the members of the 20,000 person staff of the Park Service are so dedicated, and they're being so roiled right now with chaos of reorganization and lack of clarity as to the future, and I hurt for them.
I'm trying to remember, was it the New York Times or Washington Post? One of the major newspapers is doing a series on how the changing of the guard, a Democratic administration to a Republican administration, how it has been upsetting to various departments. And the first piece that they did, I believe, is when the Department of Agriculture, which might strike mm-hmm. you as a bit of a yawn, say, but then you say, no, that involves children, food, school lunches, mm-hmm. to say nothing of our agriculture and how we feed ourselves as a nation. And the sort of disregard that the incoming administration had in the agriculture department for the outgoing one, the exchange of ideas, procedures, and plans, just a sort of handoff, was stunning to all the people involved on at least the one side. And it sounds like the national parks are at some point here going through the same sort of whiplash.
I think so, too. I think you phrased it very well, and the disregard is amazing. And, you know, one of the things we worked on, I didn't mention, is we try to get the next generation involved and new partnerships, as well as increased private philanthropy and other things, was to bring about the awareness that most people, when they think of their national parks, they think of Yellowstone or Yosemite or even Grand Teton National Park, which I live near. And those are wonderful, big natural treasures. But two-thirds of the national park system are cultural and historic. And we work very hard to reinforce a recognition of the breadth of the Park Service. And I hope that this is not lost in this next period.
Gretchen, I have not been to a national park west of the Mississippi. If I start, I know, just get back up on your feet now.
You have to change that, John.
If I start, where should I start? Give me one.
West of the Mississippi?
Yes.
Well, I'd go through I'd probably come to Wyoming first, even though I live there.
I would see
Yellowstone and yeah. Grand Teton National Park.
All right.
Which has had the greatest visitation in its history this past year.
Oh, good.
Which is both wonderful and sometimes a problem.
I was just going to say, or not good, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's one of the wonderful things about the National Park Service. They're the only agency in the government that has the dual role of trying to invite the visitor to enjoy the resource and at the same time steward that resource so it is well preserved and not hurt. It's a huge job, that dual effort.
I'll come see you sometime, Gretchen.
The visitation gets up pretty high on places like Yellowstone, and we start to shake our heads. And I would go, Yosemite in California is great. The Grand Canyon is great. All the big icon parts are great. But on your way, I would stop at the smaller, particularly coming across from the Mississippi, the smaller, more historical and cultural parks.
I got
They're pretty wonderful. Like Custer's Last Stand is a great, great park.
I said just one. Okay, so I'll do Yellowstone and Grand Tetons to start and then farm my way out there. What a pleasure to meet and visit with you, Gretchen Long. Thank you for your time
today.
Well,
John, I've appreciated it.
It's good to hear your voice. Hopefully similar voices will take your place. She's resigned as a member of the National Park Service Board.